Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 10. Ukramantam siddhim vapi punjanam vagunan vitam vimuranana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha ukramantam. Quitting the body. Sitam, situated in the body. Vaapi, either. Bhunjanam, enjoying. Va, or. Guna anvitam, under the spell of the modes of material nature. Imura, foolish persons. Na, never. Anupashanti, can see. Pashanti, can see. Jnana Chakshusha, those who have the eyes of knowledge. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The foolish he can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. The one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport. The word jnana chakshusha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, or what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances, is living under certain circumstances, and is enjoying under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering of different kinds of happiness and distress, under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is from the body and is changing its body and enjoying different ways. Persons with such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious, liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. Ukramantam siddhim vapi bhunjana vagunanvita vimuranana pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. This idea of being trained is emphasized throughout the Bhagavad Gita, that we weren't born in awareness. Om Agyanati Manandasya. We were born in darkness. And we were taught at the universities, and well, public school and colleges, so that our eyes were already closed, and then they sew them shut in the universities and other such so-called educational institutions. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, modern education means to take a human being and make them into an animal. Because real knowledge is to understand what kind of body we have. If we don't understand what kind of body we have, then there's no way of making progress in our consciousness. So in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami says our first business is to find out where everyone else is at in terms of their level of advancement in spiritual life. Because generally speaking, it's very difficult to figure out where we're at. We think we're up there. We're so high up, we can't even see ourselves. Nor can anyone else see us. And everyone else is so much down there that, you know, it's obvious where they're at. So it's easier to figure out where everyone else is at. We can be completely in mode of ignorance and we have everyone else figured out. But as we usually know, all the faults we see in everyone else are usually all the faults we have. So that's a good way of starting. Look around, see all the faults you see. And then you can know right away what kind of faults you have. Just write them all down. Yeah, he did this, and yeah, he's like that. Wow. I'm so observant. But it is our business to find out what these modes of material nature are. This 15th chapter comes after the 14th chapter, where Krishna says in some detail what the modes of material nature, how they act, how they bind, and also how they give liberation. So we find out that we're situated in a combination of the modes of nature, which makes it difficult to ascertain precisely, because generally speaking, as Krishna says, sometimes the mode of ignorance becomes passion, becomes prominent, and sometimes the mode of goodness, defeating ignorance and goodness, and sometimes goodness becomes prominent, defeating passion and ignorance, and sometimes ignorance becomes prominent, defeating goodness and passion. And this way there's always competition for supremacy. So the modes of nature are always changing. One moment we think we're completely in goodness and I can't believe how purified I am and how wonderful I am. Next moment we think, wow, my God, I am fallen. I can't believe it. At least I've fallen so far, there's no place else to fall. I've reached the bottom. Then the next moment, actually, I am a great soul. So we go from humility to arrogance. As soon as we're arrogant, material nature beats us down, we become humble, and we think, oh, I'm so humble. And the material nature gives us a little rise, and we go, yeah, actually, I'm a pretty nice guy. And then we get beaten down again, you know. That's called Ganatarala, alternating thick and thin, which is a symptom of Anishnita Bhajana Kriya. But that just means that we're in the modes of ignorance and passion, because material life usually means to go from becoming super enthusiastic in the mode of passion, uncontrolled enthusiasm, to uncontrolled depression, like a yo-yo. We go up and down like a yo-yo. In the modes of material nature. And if we can understand that, that's the first thing for becoming aware, that we should change our modes of nature. If we're not aware of what we're going through, then there's no possibility of changing it. Of course, we're aware of it and we think, well, this is fantastic. The passion, boy, I really like passion. A little ignorance is good too, you know. A little variety. But in goodness, which is as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yeshamantakatam papam janana punya karmanam te dvanva moha nirmuktva bhajante mam dridavrataha. Those who have practiced devotional service in previous lives, yeshamantakatam papam, who have given up sinful reactions and are acted piously, and free from the dualities of delusion, they can engage themselves in my service with determination. In other words, freedom from papam means freedom from ignorance and passion. And the mode of goodness. Well, we have to come to the mode of goodness if we want to experience, at least to some extent, significant extent, what transcendental happiness is. Unless we're in goodness, we can't meditate upon Krishna for very long, if at all. Unless we think about Krishna, his name, his form, his quality, and pastimes, unless we can think clearly, with a clearer mind, we can't feel Krishna's presence. And Krishna's presence is pleasure. and the presence of Krishna's devotees too, pure devotees. It is pleasure. And without that pleasure, we can't become, we can't become satisfied. But neither can we actually very easily get free from the modes of ignorance and passion. So in one sense, we have to come to goodness in order to get free from the our anarthas, from our ignorance and passion that we carry with us. So that means we have to take an effort. We have to take an effort to get free from ignorance and passion by concentrating on Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. So that's within our possibility if we have enough knowledge that we stay aloof from all these ideas within our senses, within our mind, the pushing of the senses, and just try and concentrate upon Krishna. And then Krishna will help. But we have to understand, as it says here, that the foolish can understand how the living egg quits his body. So, exactly the mechanism for quitting the body is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It may be not so necessary to understand how we ourselves in the heart are raised by the life airs somewhere. You can quit the body through all these openings. When people are sinful, they quit it through the lower openings. And therefore they go to the lower planets. And when people are more elevated, they quit through the higher openings. And then they go upwards. But exactly the technique, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, we don't have to worry about the technique, because even if we worried about it, it wouldn't do us any good. We have no capacity in this age. We can hardly, you know, walk around the corner, what to speak of, trying to figure out how to move the life airs in our body around. The only airs in our body that move around is after we eat. That's the only life airs we can know are moving around usually. But the consciousness is actually moving the life airs. So if we raise our consciousness to Krishna consciousness, thinking about Krishna, then the other airs, the lower airs like apana and even vyana, there are five principal airs, apana, vyana, samana, prana, and udana, they automatically move upward or they become equalized. Especially prana has to move upwards, the major life era of consciousness, so that has to move upward. And if jnana is circulating equally throughout the body, then the body's peaceful, the consciousness is peaceful, and then we can think of easily about Krishna. But in any case, in this age, the spiritual presence of Krishna and Srimati Radharani are there and purify one of these lower modes of nature if one is able to learn how to chant Hare Krishna with not only concentration but with faith also. That we have to be practiced to believe that actually Krishna is there. That it's not Krishna's fault that I'm not experiencing Krishna consciousness. It's my fault. Well, we can say fault. It's because of my past activities. I'm covered, and therefore it may take a while before the coverings get free enough, or we become free from the coverings enough. So when we do chant Hare Krishna, then we can actually begin to experience Krishna's presence. We can experience what spiritual means. And what kind of body, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge. So our Hare Krishna movement is meant to train people's eyes with knowledge. And knowledge, as I said, we always repeat, is not just book knowledge. It's good to memorize these books, be able to chant these verses, but to be able to see them in reality, see them as they're happening, see them in our lives, means that they become exciting. Otherwise, you can memorize the whole Bhagavad Gita, and the next moment, next week or next month or next 5 years, you'll forget it because it has no meaning. But when you can actually perceive it in reality, just like one can read Bhagavad Gita and just read it as if it was some kind of fairy tale. If one reads it to try to see how it's reality, then it becomes alive. And not only that, but then one has to apply it within one's life so one experiences it. And then one becomes skillful. Without practice, no one becomes skillful. You try, just like if you want to practice anything. Here, I guess you play soccer. No, practically no one was born a soccer player. The first time you hit the ball, it didn't get it go into the net. And every time after that, it always went into the net. Every time you hit the ball, it didn't matter where you were. It always wound up in the net because you were born to be a soccer player. And even when, you know, so it takes practice. But you have to know where the ball is. You have to know what your foot is. You have to know where to hit the ball. You have to know where the net is. You have to learn certain basic principles. Then you have to practice. Then after a while, they become skillful. So that at least sometimes you can hit, you know where the net is and you can hit the ball into it. So it takes practice. And then you become the hero, the acharya playing football. Every time people hear your name, they immediately, oh, our acharya. Well, they go, ah! But that takes practice, and it takes skill, and then one develops, skill means you do things just spontaneously, naturally. It doesn't take that much thought, it just comes spontaneously. Just like if you want to practice the martial arts, and actually so that it's effective, you have to do it over and over again until it becomes, you don't even think about it, it just happens. Someone goes like this, and you go like that. It just happens naturally, spontaneously. So that Krishna consciousness has to come to that stage. Not every time we start chanting Hare Krishna, oh, Hare Krishna, it's going to be a real struggle, another 2 hours of struggle. Oh, Hare Krishna. bliss, yes, real bliss. At least we're not at the stage of chanting Hare Krishna like we used to be. Where the boys used to take their japa beads and hit with the head against the wall and go, Hare Krishna, hitting the head against the wall. People walk in, my God, I got the wrong address. This is an institution. No wonder most of them are white. They all see that they have these institutional uniforms on. Hare Krishna, bang, bang. My God. Call one of the attendants. This man's going to kill himself. Then other people, you know, sleep and someone's walking around with a squirt gun. They go, ah! So at least we're a little bit beyond that. But still we have to learn how to chant. We have to understand who we are and how to chant Hare Krishna. So it becomes less of a, you know, especially before you chant, you go, I know it's going to be horrible. Yeah, so it's going to be horrible. You're an astrologer, you know. Krishna said, oh, he wants it to be horrible? All right. No problem.
He
You think maybe today it'll be different. Maybe I'll do it. Krishna, oh, he thinks it could be different. All right. I dare you to come out to appear at Krishna. All right. So we have to want to become Krishna conscious. Know that if Krishna appeared, all my material life will disappear, and please don't appear, Krishna. Don't spoil my material life. I got plans. Take away my miseries, but don't appear, please. I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, since we are so material conditioned, then most of the things which we are doing from our false ego. And I'm wondering, is Krishna accepting our service from false ego, from this?
Your false ego will get liberated. I don't know what's going to happen to you, but your false ego will get liberated.
Then maybe I don't understand what is the connection between me and my false ego.
Well, that's the problem.
Please, Om Agyana, Vyandasya.
Let it appear. Well, we ourselves were the conscious person. Well, we're watching our false ego. We're watching ourselves in this material misconception that I'm doing everything. So that's called illusion. So if you want to know what false ego is, it's the energy that puts you in illusion, that makes us identify ourselves with this gross and subtle body and believe that we're doing all these things. So that's called false ego.
And false ego is also appeared if you are come to a mode of goodness, or how is this connected with the false ego? I mean,
then you could be in the mode of goodness and think that you're the doer also. Goodness means ignorance and passion and goodness combined. So goodness is still, there may be good in ignorance and passion. We have to come to the transcendental conception. We may not realize who we are exactly, our identity, but we have to understand that we're not this body, and therefore accept the teachings of Krishna, that I should be doing it for him. At least intellectually, I have to understand how Krishna is the proprietor of everything, including my body, and we should do something that he wants us to do under the directions of his representatives, Guru, Sadhana, Shastra, and then hopefully do it to please him. So we have to work on the intellectual platform rather than the emotional one. So the intellectual platform tells us how we should be doing things, even if we don't see it completely, but we should see it at least enough so we do it. And then activities performed in knowledge strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge. So we should gain knowledge. At least we have it theoretically and then try and see it and then act on it. And gradually things will be revealed. So hear, remember, perceive, act on it, then conviction will grow, then eventually it'll become a skill, and when we develop the character of a pure devotee, then everything will be revealed completely and clearly.
And our intention should be pure only for the service of Krishna, not for what I will gain in this.
Well, the only thing you can gain is Krishna's service. Everything else is what our body and mind are demanding from us, which is not us. we're thinking we're going to gain. Yeah, we're going to gain a lot of trouble. That's what we're going to gain. Another birth and death.
So when you do a service for Krishna and you don't get a better piece of prasadam, means that what?
Means you're going to go hungry.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthara Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.